Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cow Daily, your daily / weekly guide to all things bad in the world and that. Take three. I've tried the first take, dogs got involved. Second take, because I'd muted it, because the dogs got involved, I was talking for about 2 minutes and you couldn't hear us. So thanks to the people in the comments for letting us know. If you could help me out with this one, flying solo this week. So shouts to Alice, who's out there in a sick bed, and would hope to do another one, well, first one of the new term. Sadly, my electricity went off last week and she's ill this week. So flying solo again. So if you get your comments in and help us along with that, that's great. What we're talking about in this episode is the far right, the rise of the far right in Italy. We haven't got time to go into what's happening in Sweden and other places. We're going to specifically focus this on Italy on this episode. If you want me to cover other countries or just generally how it links up, which I'll touch on right at the very end on a global level with Steve Bannon's, that kind of people, let me know. If you want us to do more on the Steve Bannon type of stuff, just let me know. Let me know in the comments after this. We're going to talk about in this one how the scene is set for the far right in certain countries and what kind of like movements, clubs, that kind of thing they can use. We're going to focus quite heavily on Lazio, the football club in Italy. A point that we should remember is in Italy, football ultras, you would call them hooligans in the UK, they are split on political lines. So they're quite far to the right, like Lazio. You can go to the left, like Livorno, very, very sort of like communist far left kind of port town. Many other examples of this, but those are two just to sort of set the scene with it. We're going to focus on Lazio, which is a snapshot of other areas in Italy which have seen a surge in the far right. But before we do that, what I want to ask you to do is please do comment, rate and subscribe. Go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/cowdaily. Please subscribe there. Please comment there if you can, and please share the videos from there. We're trying to get the channel monetized, so it would be very helpful. If you want to immediately support our work, you can go and become a patron, which is patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. Also, if you want to make a one-off donation, go to the links in the description. You can find our PayPal there. That really helped with our work as well. And also, Cow Daily mailing list link in the description for you. Right, that's that done. Let's crack on. So, just pull up a little bit of sort of backstory about Meloni. So, as you can see from a Wikipedia page here, she was originally elected in the Lazio constituency, which is a region around Rome. She was elected there twice, between 2006, 2008, also 2008 and 2013. She then went on to be elected in Lombardy, a different region, between 2013 and 2018. Then Latina between 2018 and 2022, and currently L'Aquila, which is a region in the middle of Italy. She was born in Rome, Italy, and I was very surprised to see she's the same age as me. Other political affiliations, and this might become, well, it does become quite important later in the piece when we meet the good or bad Lazio ultras. MSI, keep an eye out for that from other political affiliations between 1992 and 1995, particularly when we meet somebody from the Chelsea Headhunters. So moving on, a bit more about her. This is from CNN. When Giorgia Meloni first burst onto the political scene in 2006 as the youngest ever vice president of the National Alliance Party, she sealed her fate as a far-right politician. The National Alliance, formerly the Italian Social Movement, was unapologetically neo-fascist, formed by supporters of Benito Mussolini. Meloni herself openly admired the dictator as a youth, but later distanced herself from his brand of fascism. Despite keeping the tricolour flame symbolising the eternal fire on his tomb in the logo for Brothers of Italy, this is the party she went on to co-found in 2012 and who she's with now. Now keep an eye out for that flame. It appears on a few different things. And they may have forgotten about this from the year 2000. So stay tuned. Now, as you can see, there's the MSI symbol, and it's the Italian eternal flame, and that appears on Mussolini's tomb. Mussolini, for those who don't know, was the fascist leader during the Second World War who ended up hung from a lamppost, which was a shame. So moving on, this is from Associated Press. The Brothers of Italy party, which won the most votes in Italy's national election, has its roots in the post-World War II neo-fascist Italian social movement. Highlighted here, keeping the movement's most potent symbol, the tricolour flame, Giorgio Meloni has taken Brothers of Italy from a fringe far-right group to Italy's biggest party. Interesting. How was that done? Also as well, a little bit extra here, a tweet from her and the English translation above, Giorgia Meloni declared that she is proud of a party symbol, which includes a flame representing the one burned on Mussolini's tomb. So that's clear then. So a little bit of scene setting there. We'll just go on into the videos and we'll come back and talk a little bit about that. So this one is from a BBC documentary from the year 2000, which explored and talked about the Lazio Ultras, the Irreducibili, or the Indomitable, I think it translates as in English. Very fash, very far right, as you can see. See you after this video.
In Italy, the link between politics and the football hooligans has a darker side.
When you go around Rome, I think something that would shock people who haven't been here is how much extremist graffiti there is. But the curious thing about all this is that 80% of the time, to put a rough figure on it, those right-wing symbols are coming in football contexts. Like, you see a piece of graffiti about Roma or about Lazio, and it'll be accompanied by the Celtic cross or by the swastika.
Lazio's Irreducibili have always had links to the far right. Italy's hooligan groups were heavily influenced by the war between left and right-wing terrorists in the 70s and 80s.
You had groups like Milan, Bologna, Firenze, which belonged to the left-wing movement, and groups like Verona, Inter, Lazio, which belonged to the right-wing movement.
This terrorist was once full of our right-wing comrades. Many of them died fighting for the cause in the streets and against the police. Every Sunday you'd see them here on the North Terrace. They'd have their faces covered with scarves, supporting Lazio. Some still come to the game. I guess they're lucky to have found in us a new generation willing to carry on the work.
How wonderful for you there, Fabrizio. You've got a new generation of Nazis to carry on the work. How wonderful. So that's a bit of scene setting regarding Lazio, but also, as the professor there from Bologna University told us, it's very much split down political lines, far left, far right. Anyway, something I want to make clear. Roma and Lazio, both two teams from the Rome region, like make up the Rome derby. Their ultras do fight each other, but Roma used to be associated with the left wing some time ago, but on their curva or terrace, the right wing won out. So you've got far right ultras around Roma, and then obviously far right around Lazio. You do get small fringe groups of left wing groups, but they tend to sort of be a bit in the shadows because they get their arses kicked. What my point is there, politics for those ultras, when it comes down to it, particularly with the leadership, trumps football. So there's alliances and allegiances, which we'll explore, which do feed into the UK and also beyond that as well, as we'll see. Something I do want to pick up with you. This is from the Gentleman Ultra blog, which is a great blog. There's a little section I pulled out. Divided United, the paradoxical politics of the Rome Derby. And this is from 2016. Indeed, followers of Rome and Lazio share no pact of non-aggression such as the one made by AC Milan and Inter fans. Generally, when the capital clubs meet, no quarter is given. At times, this has culminated in deplorable acts of violence and even tragedy, such as the death of Lazio fan Vincenzo Paparelli, who was hit by a pyrotechnic fired from Roma's Curva Sud in the derby of October 1979. There is, however, a paradoxical dimension to this derby, a form of fan politics that has seen the ultras of Roma and Lazio transcend their mutual hatred and unite in protest as what they consider the systematic oppression of their world and culture. Now, we see those type of things like across the board. It's a far-right playbook. We haven't got time to go into Steve Bannon and his links with Salvini, who is from the Lega Nord, which is part of the coalition with Brothers of Italy. We're going to keep it focused predominantly around the scene setting and the football, and I may actually do further stuff on this in the future because it is relevant to us and our lives, and certainly will be relevant around the whole Trump thing if and when he does stand again. And I'm really not sure that Boris Johnson, who's linked to these type of people, is done either, but that's a completely other story. So what I want to show you is links with Chelsea. Now, some of you might know who the Chelsea headhunters are. I'll go a bit more into that and how that goes into other clubs too. But keep an eye on the snood that this guy's got on his face.
Old political rivalries have forged friendships beyond Italy. On board is a Chelsea hooligan and far-right activist.
I've been coming out for too many years. Through connections I made in, well, friends of mine and I made in London, through, at the time, the British movement and the National Front, and I've been coming since. Yeah, basically it's a fascist thing.
So as we've seen from the Chelsea headhunter there, on his snood, he's wearing an MSI logo, which is that eternal flame, which we picked up earlier in the episode there. So the reason I'm pointing these things out is, obviously, that was from 20 years ago, right? Meloni used to be in MSI when she was young. We've seen this already. They're going around saying, oh, we're not fascists, we're not this, we're not that. You've got a Chelsea headhunter linked to Combat 18. That's basically the one and the same thing. Who is saying, with this same logo on his face, yeah, it's just a fascist thing. That's the link between Lazio and Chelsea. But it goes a bit deeper than that. As you can see, here's the old calling card from the Chelsea headhunters hooligan firm. Top left, you can see the SS Totenkopf symbol, which obviously goes back to the Nazis, and it goes on. As you can see here, and I'm explaining this for audio listeners, but if you would like to see these things, you go to our Cow Daily YouTube channel, links in the description. But all, similarly, if you'd like to see the listen to the audio, links for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others are available there. What we have here is the SS Totenkopf, top left again, modeled and the whole flag itself with Chelsea badge and Chelsea headhunters running across the middle is modeled on an old Nazi flag. This one's in blue, though, because that's the colour of Chelsea. So we're introducing an alliance here now called the Blues Brothers. That features Chelsea, Linfield, which is a club in Northern Ireland, and Glasgow Rangers. They're like hardcore fans, hooligans, whatever you want to call them, and it does spread into the sort of wider fan base, tend to be right-wing, quite far right-wing. And I mean, you can see on this flag, top right, Nazi Totenkopf is there again. The Blues Brothers is linked around politics. It's linked around Combat 18, the National Front. It's, as you've seen, it links internationally all the way back and probably further than that, 20 years from when that documentary was made and we saw that guy with the MSI flame snood on. So it goes deeper than this. As you can see, there's a variety of flags and there's an SS Totenkopf, Chelsea headhunters, Chelsea badge, and it's featuring the Red Hand of Ulster. You've got the Ulster flag, all kinds, British Alliance, just fascist symbolism, basically all tied together. Rangers, Chelsea, Linfield, the Blues Brothers. Friends Forever, there's a Stone Island badge, Bears on Tour. Bears is the nickname for the Rangers fans. And this is Hamburg and Rangers. Now, why have Glasgow Rangers got an alliance with the Hamburg Ultras? The Hamburger from the HSV club in Germany, of course. Celtic have a traditional link, and Celtic being Rangers' rivals within Glasgow, obviously we know about the sectarian lines around religion, but it also goes political as well. Celtic are linked with FC St. Pauli. FC St. Pauli are Hamburg's rival club in, well, obviously Hamburg. They're from the St. Pauli district where the Reeper Barn is, which is the famous red light district in Hamburg. St. Pauli used to be, you would call it like in the UK, like a non-league club. So they weren't very big at all. But in response to the Nazis on the terrace at HSV in Hamburg, the left-wing fans of St. Pauli, broke off and co-opted St. Pauli and made it into the club that it is today. St. Pauli has links with Celtic. They even have like a joint sort of event every year in Hamburg, and I think there's the Green Brigade, the Ultras of Celtic, and St. Pauli Ultras have very close links, and they're always doing sort of swaps, going to each other's games, that kind of thing. As you can see, they're on anti-fascist lines, which brings them in directly counterposed to the Blues Brothers, links with Lazio, all of that kind of thing. It says on the screen, siempre anti-fascista, and melded badge of Celtic and St. Pauli. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a sort of overview of the football and how it links together. Because people have been saying, why has Italy went like this? What the hell's happened? Like, it's a surprise. And I can understand there's a lot to follow in the world and you wouldn't more than likely know. So what else do we have? Paolo Di Canio. A lot of people might have heard of him. He played for West Ham for quite a while. He was a member of the Irreducibili Lazio Ultras when he was young. On the screen, we're seeing him do what he calls the Roman salute. It's a fascist salute. And he's doing that to the Irreducibili at a match when he played for them and when he left West Ham and went back to the club. When Di Canio was young, he used to go to away games when he played for Lazio's youth team with the Irreducibili, and he was spoken to because the club found out and said, what do you want to be, a footballer or an ultra? So obviously he's then went and took that forward into his football. But as you can see here, it wasn't an isolated incident. Here's another example of Di Canio giving the fascist salute. You can call it the Roman salute all you like, mate. You've got a tattoo of Mussolini and Il Duce on your back. Shut the fuck up. So as we can see here as well, the fascist, as they call them, bloody Roman salute. However, that doesn't explain the Celtic cross symbol with Lazio behind the fan who's doing the fascist salute. The fans. The Celtic cross symbol has been co-opted by fascist movements around the world. It's often seen with like white power worldwide around it, or good night left side when it's directed towards like left-wing activists, which you do get to see quite often. Actually, I'm doing a video on Holland and the Dutch farmers protest and the links to the far right. That'll be coming soon. And when I was there, I found white power symbols drawn on bus stops, that kind of thing. Did report it, obviously. I'll show you the emails and shit like that when the time comes. So more here, the Irreducibili, and we have the Italian flag. We have the Celtic cross shown again. We also have the swastika flag, and as you can see, it's the flag where the design of the Chelsea Headhunters flag in blue is based on. Also next to the eagle, which I think is the eagle that appears on Di Canio's back. I might be wrong. He's got some kind of Mussolini fash tattoo though. Also as well, we've moved on into this. We're talking about like the links between Roma and Lazio. There was a horrible thing that happened a few years ago where the Lazio Ultras put Anne Frank, obviously many of you will know Anne Frank hid from the Nazis, a Jewish girl, and wrote the Anne Frank diaries during the war. They've got Anne Frank in a Roma shirt. The reason that they've done this is not because of left and right. They were quoted as saying they did it as a joke towards their comrades within Roma. It's like, to them, a form of sick humor, like taking the piss that, like, you're all the Jews, Roma are the Jews. Unbelievable. Horrible. I mean, the Serie A, which is the league that they play in, the top league in Italy, they actually, after this, held like a reading from Anne Frank's diaries at all of the grounds. And at the Lazio ground, the Irreducibili just sang fascist songs over the top of the reading and the minute silence that came as well. So it gives you an example of the type of people that you're dealing with. Right. So what else do we have for you here? Also, some of you might know a famous World Cup winning player, Lilian Thuram, a black player who played for the French national side. Here's his words about what happened to demonstrate the power of Irreducibili and ultra groups within Italy when Lazio wanted to sign him.
Lazio's hooligans have become notorious for racist chanting, part of a worrying rise in Italian racism after a recent increase in immigration. Fabrizio's views are explicit.
It disturbs me to think that in the future the Italian race will become mixed like it is in England. You know, it disturbs me.
It's unbelievable. You go to Lazio and hear the fans making all these noises. I don't know how many of them do it, but it's unbelievable.
The French international Lilian Thuram was playing in Italy for Parma when he refused to transfer to Lazio because of their fans. In a sign of their power, the Irreducibili went to meet him.
I think they scared Thuram actually more than anything else by managing to book an appointment with a major Serie A player and wander into the training ground as a kind of representatives of some major Roman power.
Yes, even this was very strange. I never understood how they actually got in. In Italy, the fans are very powerful, and I really don't understand it.
Yeah, we went to him and he said, of course you can join Lazio. You know, we've got a black player in the youth team, we get on fine with him.
No, come on. How can I go and play for Lazio knowing what they're like? It'd be impossible.
So as we can see there, unbelievable. Can you imagine a group of football fans in the UK, like pick a side, anyone you want, who basically made an appointment to go and see a black player? Where, bearing in mind, here's a good example. Can you imagine the Chelsea headhunters went to see a black player and says, oh, it's fine, just come, you know, it'll be fine. We've got some kind of like player on the youth side, it's fine. Just forget about all the monkey chants we did towards you when you played for Parma. Absolutely fucking disgusting. Unbelievable, these people. But believable too, because this their political power as a result of who they are. I mean, look, the Irreducibili have got had the last time I checked, I don't follow them all the time, radio stations, fucking all kinds. There was a time when Lazio nearly went bankrupt, right? Around about this time. And the Irreducibili merchandise was selling more than Lazio shirts. So they gave a lot of that money to the club to save the club. But then that gave them a hell of a lot of power and also political power. So we'll take a few of your comments. Punk Food Bandita, make fascists upside down again. Shelley Kelly, hello, Mike. Hello yourself, mate. Zoe Jarrett, get well soon, Alice. I agree. Get well bloody soon, mate. I honestly would love you to be here doing this now because I guarantee it would just be so funny. But never mind. Anyway, Russ Smith, is this coming up on the screen? Yes, it is. Russ Jeff Smith, this makes me wonder if the best way of exposing this stuff is to set up a really cheap flag printing business and just keep an eye on what designs are coming in, where they're going to. Oh, bloody hell. Are you the Secret Service pal? Jesus. right. Joanne G, hello, mate. Shocked, not shocked. Tell us about it. So how does this affect us, and what is this about? What we've been seeing, right, is this like complete sanitizing of fascists, because that's what they are. We've seen the fascists. We saw somebody saying from Chelsea Headhunters, it's a fascist thing with the MSI logo on. The same fucking logo that's on the Brothers of Italy flag. You can say you're not fascist all you want. There's pictures of Meloni when she was young. Like, the first speech she ever did was, I believe, with MSI. And she went on stage dressed all in black, the full fascist thing. We've seen this across the world since 2000 and before. We saw this with the rise of the BNP and Nick Griffin. Remember that time when he had a season ticket for Question Time that he signed over to Nigel Farage later on? They all put suits on, clean themselves up. Maloney, now she's wearing like bright colours, and it's like you see this with Le Pen as well in France. Le Pen has come out, and there was a whole... it was a whole sort of movement within the far right to clean their image up, because the jackboots and the shaved heads and all of that stuff just wasn't doing it electorally for them. So Punk Food Bandita says, I wish that I was there too. Got plenty to say about Hillary Clinton's comments, R.E. Maloney, and about how it's always a positive thing when women get into positions of power. We'll pick this up again, and we'll when you come back next week, we'll do... the Hillary Clinton video and just lead the way on it, because that whole girl bossification of absolutely any woman in positions of power is fucking mental. Mental. So anyway, in the UK, how are ghoul television stations, if we can loosely call them that, like GB News, dealing with this? This is what we've got. Beverly Turner, one of the presenters on there, I think she was married to some England rugby player or something. I don't really know much about her, but like a lot of people do know her. She's a recognisable face. She's been on mainstream telly. So what she says in a tweet, listen to Italy's potential new prime minister and tell me why she is wrong. I find it extraordinary that valuing the family and calling out nefarious corporate greed, which enslaves citizens, is called far right. The EU and the media will hate her. Be awake to it or be woke. So you're asking your fucking far-right supporters to be woke now, but you're just saying be awake to it, are you fucking bellend? So that's Beverly Turner. Here's, again, somebody on GB News, Martin Daubney, absolute arsehole, used to be editor of Loaded magazine, basically a troll far-right grifter who dresses himself up as, well, got a suit on, honey. So he's saying in his tweet on GB News at 8:40, he was doing the papers or something, why Britain needs a leader like Italy's populist, inverted commas, Meloni. Oh, get to fuck. I mean, listen, GB News isn't going to do this deep dive into like ultra culture and pick out symbolism and all of that kind of thing. So this shit with the continued radicalization of predominantly boomers is just going to go unchecked. I'm not really sure whether the mainstream press are going to be doing anything either. What else does this mean, though? What else does this mean for us here in England? God, this sucks. So anyway, the far-right Brothers of Italy party, led by Giorgia Meloni and its coalition partners, Matteo Salvini's populist Northern League, links to Bannon, and Silvio Berlusconi's Go Italy, bunga bunga parties and general wrongness, gathered more than 43% of the vote in this 2022 election. That is massive. They came well ahead of a centre-left coalition led by Enrico Letta's Democratic Party on 26.2%, whose platform was seen as a continuation of the policies undertaken over the past year and a half by the outgoing technocratic Prime Minister Mario Draghi. Draghi, of course, being quite heavily linked with the EU. It goes on. Right, so... Italy is the Western country which has fallen the furthest back economically over the last couple of decades. So people are asking, how did this happen? Why did this happen? It's because of things like this. And we've seen over the last couple of decades, going back to the year 2000, for when that documentary on the ultras was made, those groups are very well organized and they have flourished within these times. So fascism flourishes under these conditions. And today, right now, is no different. But this didn't just happen overnight. It happened over a period of time with complicity in the media. I mean, Berlusconi, who's part of that, he made his money through media, and at one time he pretty much had a monopoly of Italian media. So it's not hard for him to get messaging out and do that over a period of time. So it could also be said that it's an overhang of how neoliberalism provides no answers for working class people and ultimately results in election outcomes such as this. Neoliberalism being woven into the fabric of the EU. I voted Remain, but I did it through the skin of my teeth, through gritted teeth. There's a hell of a lot wrong with the EU, but I haven't got time to go into that in this particular episode, but happy to do it in future ones if you wish. So Giorgia Meloni has always claimed that she wants to put Italy first, a bit like Trump's America first, and stressed the importance of nation states in the process of European integration. She means integration of European nations. I don't think she means integration of anybody who isn't white, strangely enough. So that's for the quote from Leila Talani, director of Center for Italian Politics at King's College London, when she was talking to Euronews. Wouldn't expect more veto points and veto powers or expression of vetoes by this government. What she's referring to there is that this election of Meloni in terms of the European Union could cause serious problems. Reason being, you need everybody to agree on certain key points of European law, and Italy have a veto. Part of this, like, wider fascist network, Le Pen, and I recall a quote from her recently, possibly, I can't remember when it was, and she was talking about, like, oh, better to be in the EU so we can dismantle it from the inside out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the EU off the back of this. Going on, here's an article from Politico, and it's called The Mainstreaming of Giorgia Meloni. Centre-right politicians jumping on the party leader's bandwagon have given her a veneer of respectability and credibility, and she needs them. Listen, going all the way back to as far as you remember, fascists can't win without the centre and centre-right, and centre being liberals. Like, you look back at the Nazis, right? The Nazis were put into power on a much smaller share of the vote than what Meloni's got. And they were put into power by conservatives, so-called, and liberals, centrists, they would call them now. And they were put in to deal with the left. We've seen not just the mainstreaming of people like Meloni, but also the scapegoating of the left. We've seen that, obviously, with Corbyn. We've seen that fucking everywhere. I mean, Bernie Sanders, you name it. It's a concerted move by this far-right network to do that. And what it does is it obviously moves the Overton window further to the right, and they've done it drip, drip, drip over the last couple of decades, really. I mean, you could argue it's happened before, but since the rise of these, like, rolling news channels, absolutely. And as we've seen the way GB News are handling it, that Martin Daubney, man, I've seen him on Twitter, and he's like, oh, far right is anything that attacks woke and goes after the EU, far right then. Well, not anything, but this particular person, Martin, you fucking bell, is an absolute fascist and will have no cleaning up of it. And anybody watching this now, I beg you, if you see people trying to do that online or wherever, challenge them. If you want, send them this video. I don't give a fuck, me face is online here doing this. At the end of the day, are we going to stand up or we're not? This is a fucking serious situation. Very serious. It's not just like the rise of fascists, but it's also the cleansing of their image, which has been going on for a long time. And we cannot have that, man. We can't. And it's on us. Nobody else is going to do it, are they? So it goes on the political article to say, many EU decisions have to be unanimous, approved by all member states, such as those that pertain to the bloc's budget and to foreign policy, including sanctions. Poland and Hungary have regularly threatened to veto important EU policies in order to obtain concessions from Brussels on other issues, and Italy is now seen as potentially following suit. Something that strikes us right now, right? Salvini, who's part of the Lega Nord, has links to Putin, right? I haven't got time to go into it, but it's some juicy shit, right? It's going to be interesting to see when these vetoes come up within the EU, what Italy does, like, in terms of energy, in terms of other things. Will there be a sort of enemy within thing? Is the connections with Salvini. What is that going to mean? I mean, it's really intriguing and interesting to watch. So let's see. Let's see what happens in the European Parliament. So going on, Italy is a Western country. I've already done that, sorry. Right. Right here, right now, Liz Truss, the Prime Minister of the UK, tweeted this. Congratulations to Giorgia Meloni on her party's success in the Italian elections. From supporting Ukraine to addressing global economic challenges, the UK and Italy are close allies. Liz, do you know what's going on? Have you any fucking idea? It's not clear because she's thick as fucking mince. But I'm going to leave it there. Let's see what happens. Let's see how long it takes Liz no trade deal with the United States to get on a plane and fly to see Meloni. Let's see who the first world leaders are to go and meet with her. Then we will see a lot of what the fuck's going on here. Because this is absolutely rotten to the absolute core. And while we're doing that, compare Meloni's stated policies in a manifesto with the Tory parties. She's further to the left than the Tories. So anyway, let's take some of your comments before I get off. Joanne G, did Clinton say that, dear God? Well, we'll wait until we play the video next week and you can see for yourself, mate. Yvonne's saying, was that a Nazi salute though, or a Bob Holmes catch you next week type goodbye from Blockbusters? I get what you're saying. Nazi salute though, mate. Zoe's saying, what are you saying? Let's see. Get on the screen. There we go. People need to stop kidding themselves that this isn't happening here. Absolutely, mate. And I think that's a really good place to fucking leave this one, because people are literally deluded as fuck. And you couple that with a load of people like Daubney and these other talking heads, which is normalizing this shit, who are just complete fucking lie bag grifters. It's not great, is it? So spread the word. Tell people all about it. Fuck, man. Like, it is absolutely mind-blowing, as Zoe says there. People need to stop kidding themselves. And we'll leave it with Punk Food Bandita, a.k.a. Alice. That's terrifying because a lot of Meloni's policies are copied from Benito Mussolini's homework. Indeed, my friend. Hope to see you soon. Right, so please do comment, rate, and subscribe. Go to patreon.com/cowdaily if you'd like to support this work and this work like it. If you'd like to leave a one-off donation, you can go to the links in the description of this podcast and make a one-off donation via PayPal. Crazy times, eh? I hope this gives you a bit of the background and helps you understand the absolute fuckery that is afoot. It's not great, but together we can win always. But just don't let anybody talk shit to you, basically. The fascists, and they remain fascists. And we've shown it in this piece. Bye, everybody. Love you.